众朋友们，大家好，今天是9月3号，星期四，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国国务卿蓬佩奥星期三表示，为了回应中国长期以来对美国外交官的限制，美国国务院将对中国的外交官采取对等措施。来看报道。
美国国务卿蓬佩奥星期三表示，国务院正继续进行恢复美中关系对等性的必要工作。他说，中国共产党多年来对在中国工作的美国外交官施加重大障碍。作为回应，美国国务院制定了对在美国的中国外交官的一种机制。
Specifically, the Chinese Communist Party has implemented a system of opaque approval processes designed to prevent American diplomats from conducting regular business, attending events, securing meetings, and connecting with the Chinese people, especially on university campuses and via the press and social media.Today, I'm announcing the State Department has established a mechanism requiring approval for senior Chinese diplomats in the United States to visit university campuses and to meet with local government officials. Cultural events with groups larger than 50 people hosted by the Chinese embassy and consular posts outside our mission properties will also require our approval. Additionally, we're taking further steps to ensure that all official PRC embassy and consular social media accounts are properly identified.As government accounts, Chinese government accounts.
蓬佩奥还提到，国务次卿克罗克最近致信美国大学理事会，提醒关于中国共产党对学术自由、人权和大学捐赠构成的威胁。这些威胁可能通过非法资金、知识产权窃盗、对外国学生的恐吓和不透明的人才招募工作等形式出现。
University governing boards can help ensure their institutions have clean investments and clean endowment funds by taking a few key steps.Disclose all PRC companies' investment in, invested in endowment funds, especially those in emerging market index funds. Divest from Chinese companies on the Commerce Department entity list that are contributing to human rights violations, military coercion, and other abuses. And simply understand the recommendations issued by the President's Working Group on Financial Markets, which examine the risk to investors of Chinese companies that are listed on U.S. stock exchanges.
蓬佩奥还说，美国希望印度和中国边境局势能得到和平解决。中国对邻近地区的欺凌行为，美国不会坐视不理。
From the Taiwan Strait to the Himalayas and beyond, the Chinese Communist Party is engaged in a clear and intensifying pattern of bullying its neighbors. That bullying is also evident in the South China Sea. Last week, the United States imposed sanctions and visa restrictions on Chinese individuals and entities responsible for the CCP's imperialism there.
蓬佩奥说，美国对中国在西藏的行动也感到担忧，呼吁北京与达赖喇嘛或其代表进行对话，在没有先决条件的情况下找到解决分歧的方法。美国之音许湘云、林璐，华盛顿报道。
美国国防部的一份数据显示，中国的核弹头数量将在接下来的10年里至少翻一番。此外，美国总统特朗普坚持美国政府从 TikTok 的收购案中获得一部分补偿。最后，美国决定将中国部分商品的关税豁免延长到年底。五角大楼星期二公布的向国会提交的年度中国军力报告指出，随着中国寻求建立自身的海陆空三位一体核打击力量，在接下来的10年里，中国核武库的核弹头数量将至少翻一番。中国的目标是要在2049年之前赶上，甚至在某些领域超过美军。报告说，中国的核弹头数量目前据估计略超过200枚，包括那些可以装在能够打到美国的弹道导弹上的核弹头。特朗普政府敦促中国加入美国和俄罗斯达成的限制战略核武器的协议，但是中国拒绝参加。上星期，美国国防部长埃斯珀警告说，第二次世界大战后建立的全世界自由和开放的体系遭到中国在印太地区违反规则的行为的攻击。特朗普总统星期二表示，他告诉参与出售抖音海外版 TikTok 的人，有关的交易必须在9月15日之前完成，而且美国政府必须得到很好的补偿，否则中国公司字节跳动拥有的 TikTok 在美国的业务将被关闭。特朗普之前也表示过，收购 TikTok 的交易应该让美国国库得到补偿。一位知情人士说，白宫工作人员研究过从公司的合规成本中收受这笔钱。合规成本是指企业为遵守行业法规而产生的所有支出。与此同时，中国刚刚出台的限制科技出口的新规定，使得字节跳动公司出售 TikTok 变得更为复杂。 美国贸易代表办公室周二宣布，将延长包括智能手表及医疗口罩等部分中国商品的关税豁免期限，但与此前的一年期限相比，此次仅延长至2020年年底。去年特朗普政府宣布对约1250亿美元的中国商品加征15%的关税，随后在两国一月签署的第一阶段贸易协议中，将关税税率从15%降至7.5%。此次所涉及的产品包括许多蓝牙和可穿戴数据传输设备，比如苹果公司智能手环 Fitbit， 还有音箱系统 Sonos 等科技公司从中国进口的设备，还包括口罩、呼吸器等其他医疗产品。包括脸书还有谷歌在内的美国高科技公司已经决定放弃在太平洋光缆网络项目中包括香港。来看报道。
在一份递交给美国联邦通信委员会的申请书当中，光缆建造方表示，尽管光缆的建造已经完成，但将不会寻求授权建立美国和香港之间的连接。如今，这个光缆项目只包含美国、台湾以及菲律宾。今年6月，美国司法部在一份声明中称，与香港建立光缆连接会导致美国的通讯信息被中华人民共和国收集。声明还提到了过去一年来中国政府对香港自治的侵犯，并表示北京当局未来可能会公开在香港进行情报收集。这一长达8000英里的光缆项目最初宣布于2016年，一旦连接，光缆可以大大提高全球各地之间的网络速度。
星期三，特朗普总统来到了本次总统大选的战场州北卡罗来纳州的威尔明顿市，出席一场纪念二战的活动。民调显示，特朗普总统还有民主党的总统候选人拜登在该州的支持率呈焦灼状态。来看报道。
美国总统特朗普9月2号下午抵达北卡罗来纳州的威尔明顿市，在北卡罗来纳号战列舰前出席一场纪念第二次世界大战结束的活动。他宣布威尔明顿市成为美国首个二战遗产城市。
It is my tremendous honor.To officially designate Wilmington, North Carolina, as our nation's very first World War II heritage city. That's a big deal. Our nation's very first. Congratulations, team.
特朗普总统对现场的一些二战老兵表达了感谢，称他们为英雄，并表示美国是英雄的国土，并再次对执法机构表示了感谢。
For the sake of all Americans, we must uphold the rule of law and defend the American dream.For every child in our land, we must teach our children that America is the land of heroes, like you. You're heroes. You know.
就在特朗普总统抵达威尔明顿市前，民主党总统提名人、前副总统拜登也在这座城市发表了讲话。正值九月开学季，他抨击了特朗普政府对新冠疫情处理不当给校园带来的后果。
If President Trump and his administration had done their jobs early on with this crisis.American schools would be open and to be open safely. Instead, American families all across this country are paying the price for his failures and his administration's failures.
北卡罗来纳州是美国总统大选的摇摆州。根据最新的民调，两位候选人目前在该州的支持率不分上下。美国之音新闻报道。
白俄罗斯的反对派领袖季哈诺夫斯卡娅接受了美国之音的专访，表示他非常担心白俄罗斯街头抗议者的命运。此外，他还表示此次的政治危机是内部事务，似乎在拒绝接受西方的帮助。
季哈诺夫斯卡娅已经成为全球关注的焦点，她是白俄罗斯反对派的领袖，一位37岁的女性，她坚决对抗被称为欧洲的最后独裁者的卢卡申科。季哈诺夫斯卡娅告诉美国之音，她并不寻求国际帮助。
This political crisis that takes place in our country is absolutely internal affair, and we have Belarusian people have responsibility for what's going on, and we think that we have to solve this problem by ourselves.
到目前为止，他们的解决方案是使用人民的力量。自8月9日大选以来，成千上万的抗议者走上街头，要求卢卡申科总统辞职。卢卡申科宣称以80%的选票赢得了胜利。反对派以及美国和欧盟都表示，这次投票受到了严重的操纵，数百名抗议者遭到逮捕，有许多证据表明他们遭受了虐待和酷刑。选举结束后， 季哈诺夫斯卡娅担心家人的安全，逃往了邻国立陶宛，但她拒绝进一步加以说明。
I had big reasons to make this step. I can't talk about this now. Maybe somewhere in the future I will talk of them all my story, but now I can't comment on it.
现在，季哈诺夫斯卡娅正在尝试为白俄罗斯的未来制定路线图。
У нас есть чёткий план по переговорам.
First of all, we'll start negotiations when the authorities release all political prisoners who are innocent and still in Belarusian jails. We are fighting for free, fair, and transparent elections, which means that every citizen of Belarus will be able to participate in those elections. A more pertinent question would be whether Mr. Lukashenko has the moral right to participate in the new elections after all those crimes he's committed.
克里姆林宫已经邀请卢卡申科在未来几天前往莫斯科。俄罗斯总统普京表示，他已经准备好一支警察预备役部队介入白俄罗斯事态。
Mr. Putin has to understand that if he does something against us Belarusians, it will seriously damage the relationship between Russian and Belarusian people. And because we are allied nations, we are considered almost brothers. It is not in the interest of either Belarus or Russia.
Одна история и язык и ну вообще мы чуть ли не братьями друг друга считаем, то это абсолютно не в интересах как ни Беларуси, ни Беларуси, так и России.
季哈诺夫斯卡娅之所以参加总统大选，是因为她的丈夫流行视频博客博主谢尔盖蒂卡诺夫斯基计划参加总统竞选，但在此前于五月被捕。其他反对派人士的妻子为季哈诺夫斯卡娅提供了支持。最近几天，成千上万的妇女加入了反政府抗议活动。
Да, вы знаете, тяжело, потому что хочется быть рядом с ними и
It's difficult for me because I want to be with them. And you know why? Because I do not fully feel that atmosphere. Observing it from here, it looks scary to me and they seem afraid. But people who are there tell me that they are inspired. We, the women of Belarus, are such a force.I am worried about them, but they are so strong.
В этих у демонстрантов мы такая сила, мы женщины в Беларуси такая сила. Опасаюсь за них, но не такие смелые.
这次抗议活动堪比2014年的邻国乌克兰。当年乌克兰的抗议推翻了亚努科维奇总统。然后，当反对派向西方寻求支持时，欧盟旗帜的颜色充满了独立广场。俄罗斯的回应则是吞并克里米亚并入侵乌克兰东部。相反，到目前为止，季哈诺夫斯卡娅已明确拒绝任何外部干预。跨过边境，在他的祖国，抗议者继续反抗政府。他们的未来以及季哈诺夫斯卡娅的政治命运仍然充满不确定性。美国之音李奇维尔报道。
选已经打响，而在九月底，两党的候选人将会进行第一次辩论，就政策主张展开交锋。而无论他们的执政重点是什么，无论谁当选了总统，有两个紧迫的问题，他们都必须面对。来看报道。
两党各自的代表大会结束之后，2020年的总统大选就算是正式打响了。两党的竞选团队都在为11月3号做准备，而无论谁当选总统，无论他竞选时的策略是什么，都必须要面对当下考验美国的两个重点议题。 新冠疫情在美国的确诊病例超过600万人，死亡人数超过18万。拜登批评特朗普反应不及时，并且急于重启经济，而特朗普政府当然可以用自己众多的决策为例，证明应对得当。而当初拜登还曾经反对实行旅行禁令，对白宫来说有一点确定无疑，疫情的源头来自中国，当初隐瞒真相的中国政府才是病毒扩散至全世界的真正责任人。美国广播公司 ABC 和市场调查机构伊普索进行的联合民调显示，美国人整体对特朗普处理新冠疫情的支持度在下降，但是共和党人中仍然有3/4表示支持。但是分析人士认为，大选前疫情如何发展对选民的决定不会产生太大的影响，反而是选民的政治倾向决定了他们如何看待疫情。
They're almost no more persuadable.Voters at this point. People have their mind made up. They consume media that reinforces their worldview. And those echo chambers reinforce what they already think. It is difficult to ascertain to whom, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic helps or hurts. It really is in the eye of the beholder.
另一个问题是近期争取种族平等的抗议和其中难以完全避免的暴力行为。民主党支持和平抗议，在少数族裔选民中得到了广泛的支持，但是有分析担心这些抗议活动反而会对民主党不利。随着抗议活动一起发生的少数抢劫、破坏等暴力活动给民众和商家造成了损失，而参议员兰德·保罗被抗议者包围和追逐的画面也引起了巨大的反响。共和党强调维护法律与秩序，在此时似乎显得正合时宜。新闻机构 Axios 在全国范围进行的民调结果显示，一半以上的美国人依然支持 BLM 抗议和诉求，但在对赢取大选起到关键作用的摇摆州，民主的反应可能更有决定性的作用。马凯特大学法学院对摇摆州威斯康辛的选民进行的调查显示，今年6月到8月期间，对 BLM 运动支持态度的人数减少了13%，使反对态度的人数增加了12%。目前综合各大机构最新的民调结果，拜登领先特朗普6个百分点，这个差异比起此前的结果已经是在缩小。同时，特朗普的基本盘依然稳定。Axios 针对2016年的特朗普支持者进行的民调显示，96%的人会继续投票支持他。当然，民调数字只是参考。4年前的经验中，我们已经知道，民调数据和大选的结果未必总是一致的。
美国政治中常常谈论到左派还有右派，那么人们为什么要用左右来区分政治立场？我们一起去了解一下。
你用左派观点看待政治还是右派观点？为什么人们用左右方位来指代政治信仰？最初左右方位只描述你坐落的位置。1789年革命后，法国国民议会就新宪法展开辩论，反皇室的革命者不同意支持君主制的保守派和贵族拥护者，他们在议会大厅划分位置，革命者在议会主持人的左边，保守派则在右边。这样的座位安排多年间断断续续，但一直坚持了下来。而到了1800年代中期，记者们为了方便开始使用左右方位来描述政治观点，这种做法一直延续到今天。极左和极右描绘的是政治极端立场，中间派则是立场居中的温和派。
俄罗斯批准尚未完成关键测试的新冠疫苗，引起了外界的关注，还有专家的质疑。来看报道。
世界卫生组织星期一表示，新冠病毒疫苗的紧急授权需要非常认真的态度和深思。
Each country has a sovereign right to define its policy for vaccination or any other therapeutic intervention in its population, but it must be guided by the highest possible ethical standards, the highest possible scientific standards.
世卫组织的评论是在莫斯科的诊所上周开始收到新冠病毒疫苗供应的时候发出的。即使最后一个涉及4万人的第三阶段测试上周三才开始，这些疫苗仍获准在俄罗斯境内使用。俄罗斯是第一个批准新冠病毒疫苗的国家，称它做卫星 V， 以向前苏联发射的全球第一颗人造卫星致敬。 当俄罗斯政府宣布打算在没有大型关键试验数据的情况下，将在十月间供应疫苗给高风险人群使用后，许多专家对俄罗斯的疫苗表示怀疑。疫苗被视为结束全球大流行的关键，大流行病已经夺走全球845,000多个生命。
罗伯·肯尼其实既不是名人也不是演员，但是他在 YouTube 上面一个叫做老爸我怎么做的频道却让他大受欢迎，我们一起去了解一下。
Today I'm going to show you how to iron a men's dress shirt. Start on one side and work my way around. The air pressure in your tires.
要不是整个美国都因为新冠病毒而封锁，这个华盛顿州西雅图的父亲恐怕永远也没有时间来实现他的梦想。不过还好，罗伯·肯尼完成了他一直想要做的，那就是开辟了一个 YouTube 频道，和那些父亲不在身边的人分享建议。肯尼的父亲在他还是青少年的时候就离开家人，因此在线分享诀窍和指导对他相当重要。但他没想到这会变得这么风行。
Oh my goodness, this is bigger than I thought. There's more people that need it. And I originally thought, again, that I thought I'd help a few people and I thought that would be worth it. Then we got to 1,000 and I'm like, oh my man, this could really be something that people could use. And then now we're over 2 million subscribers.
在肯尼成长时期，互联网还没出现，他家里也没有父亲可以问问题。肯尼14岁的时候，父亲就离开他母亲和8个孩子。他母亲开始酗酒，最后丧失了监护孩子的权利。家里年纪比较大的孩子就照顾他们的弟妹。
Okay, so today I'm going to show you how to tie a tie. Like tying a tie, I learned how to tie a tie from my roommate when I was 20. I learned how to, you know, all the various things. You know, part of it being a dad, you learn how to do things.
Perfect. Looks good.
尽管肯尼的童年不太理想，但他还是成为他儿女的一个尽职的父亲。当他开创他的 YouTube 频道，他认为自己的孩子是主要观众。然而相反的，他开始从成千上万的人那里收到令人心碎的信息。
I call him Internet Dad Brother, because we're probably close in age. I just love him because I can feel his warmth through the camera. I sure can. And...You'd be surprised who needs to know how to tie a tie or unclog a bathroom sink.
So people are watching me tie a tie and they're crying, you know, so obviously there's something a little more. I think part of it is the, again, maybe people didn't have a dad or they missed their dad. Their dad passed early. I think for me, you know, as a young man, when I was 14, it seemed like thatyou were kind of stuck, you know, 14, but you know what, years go by and next thing you know, you're 20. And I think, understand that this is temporary. Everything's temporary. Things will get better because you don't know what's around the corner.
肯尼保证，即使在大流行病结束之后，他也不会突然离开这个项目。因为对数以百万计的人来说，他已经不仅是一个可以就日常琐事提供建议的人了。
I love you.I'm proud of you. God bless you.
美国之音记者纳尔逊、安娜莱斯，纽约报道。
全美的公共游泳池依然因为新冠疫情而大门紧闭。一款叫做 Swimply 的软件可以让人们出租自己的私人游泳池。这个软件自6月份以来，生意已经激增了25倍。
米西·詹金森正小心翼翼地用消毒剂清洗院子，把落叶从水里捞起，重新调整沙发躺椅的靠枕。这位维吉尼亚州亚历山德拉市的居民和其他7000多美国人一样，在夏天的这几个月里出租他们的私人游泳池。
I signed up Friday, almost 2 weeks ago. I got approved by midday, and it booked up the next day, almost entirely.And then every day after that, it continued to book. And then when the reviews started coming in, and all of them so far have been 5-star reviews, very nice reviews, then it started to book up pretty solidly.
詹金斯用一款叫做 Swimply 的应用软件来寻找租借者。詹金斯目前在健康保险行业工作，把他的泳池出租出去，帮助他赚取一些额外的收入。他说这些钱足够支付他的房屋贷款和维护泳池的费用。
But it's been fun, frankly. I've met a couple of really cool folks. Saturday night, I got a note from the Sunday morning client, you know, and she said, we just got engaged and we're so excited and we might bring some of our friends tomorrow. And I thought, that's so cute that somebody I don't even know, a complete stranger to me, is so excited to share her news with me.
Swimply 在2018年由两名纽约人创办，他们是布尼姆拉金斯和亚瑟魏因贝伯格。
We went into Google Earth, we looked for big blue splotches from the sky, we knocked on 80 doors, and we got kicked out of 76 of them, but we got four homes to sign up. We built a website for $500, put these four pools on the platform, and within weeks, we had thousands of strangers swimming in strangers' pools.
但是 Swimply 的生意直到新冠疫情开始后，很多公共泳池关闭才开始激增。魏因贝伯格说，涨了25倍。
On the host side of things, we have hosts who are reaching out to us every day saying, "Hey, I lost my job, right? And you know, you guys are helping me pay for not just my pool, but my entire mortgage, right? That's very rewarding." And then on the swimmer side, people are trapped at home. They're working from home. No school. No camp. Public venues are closed. Where are you making your six-year-old's birthday party, right?
有机会出租她的泳池给帕特里西亚·卡纳格雷帮助很大。她的丈夫是一名骨科医生，有几个月的时间她都因为疫情而无法从业。Swimply 帮助这对夫妇维持下去。
Because of the COVID, everybody's looking for a very safe place to go. They don't want to go to the public pool. Maybe they're immune compromised, pregnant, they have small babies. I allow infant to come.
价格从1小时$15到$300不等，取决于泳池的大小、种类以及地点。美国之音莫斯卡科夫华盛顿报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。
The biggest long-term threat to our nation's information and intellectual property and to our economic vitality is the counterintelligence and economic espionage threat from China. It's waging that fight not through legitimate innovation,not through fair and lawful competition, and not by giving their citizens the freedom of thought and speech and creativity that we treasure here in the United States. Instead, China is engaged in a whole-of-state effort to become the world's only superpower by any means necessary. Confronting this threat effectively does not mean we shouldn't do business with the Chinese, but it does mean that when China violates our criminal laws and international norms, we are not going to tolerate it. The FBI and our partners throughout the U.S. government will hold China accountable and protect our nation's innovation, ideas, and way of life.
I'm excited to report that today we've committed close to $350 million to help countries across Sub-Saharan Africa respond to the COVID-19 pandemic. Tens of billions of dollars that we have spent over the past decades, particularly through PEPFAR and PMI. One of the most exciting things that has done is it has created incredible trust-based relationships for us across Africa with deep benches and platforms. For example, in South Africa,we've had the ability to leverage about 20,000 healthcare workers working traditionally on the PEPFAR platform, so the anti-AIDS platform, to now pivot to work on COVID. I'm confident that our relationships and the shared experiences that we've had with our African country partners over the past decades will continue to help us meet both today's COVID-19 crisis and the broader development issues at hand head on.